motor running. Head out on the highway, looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it.
Good afternoon, college football fans. Another beautiful Saturday is upon us. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the College Countdown podcast here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenball, joined as always by Director of College Scouting, good friend, and upcoming roommate, Wes Bunting. Wes, what's going on, my man?
Joe, I'm looking forward to USC Stanford, and you already have your head and eyes looking forward to the Senior Bowl. What's going on, man?
Senior Bowl's coming up. We got to get ready to start booking tickets, travel plans. I'm going to have to listen to you snore for 7 days yet again. I'm just preparing myself, Wes. It's the best thing. I got to prepare and get ready so that when it comes upon me, it's not a surprise like it was last year.
Listen to me snore, Joe. I want to know, when do either of us have time to sleep when we're down in Mobile, Alabama? We're talking to draft guys. We're doing everything under the sun 24/7. There's no sleep down there.
That's true. But those 2 hours that you do, man, I don't want to be here this year. How about that?
All right, fair enough.
I'm just busting you up a little bit here. But we've got two big games we want to talk about today. Let's start in the Pac-10. The Stanford Cardinal, coming off the big 51-42 upset over the Oregon Ducks, they head down south to take on number 9 in the BCS rankings, the USC Trojans. This was the game 2 years ago. Jim Harbaugh's crew went down state and pulled off the monster upset over Pete Carroll's bunch. Let's start in the trenches, Wes. Does the Stanford offense have a mismatch up front in this one?
Well, Joe, as we talked about a couple weeks ago when we looked at USC versus Oregon, this USC front four on their defensive line isn't as talented as years past. When you look at the Stanford offensive line, this is a tough, veteran, gritty group. Not a bunch of physical inline blockers, but they're tall, long-arm athletes. When you look at Marinelli, when you look at Beeler, who don't let go of their blocks. They stay on them consistently. Also, another X factor is the tight end, Jim Dre. This guy's another big, long-arm tight end, not the most physically or athletic guy, but does a great job staying on blocks, keeping defensive linemen from disengaging, making plays on the football, and opening up holes in the run game for running back Toby Gerhardt.
Speaking of Gerhardt, and I'm glad you brought him up, you have him climbing up your Heisman big board right now. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but tell us a little bit more about this guy. How good has Toby Gerhardt been playing lately?
Joe, this is an absolute workhorse. The guy had 38 carries for 223 and 3 touchdowns last week versus Oregon. Consistently is able to wear down opposing front sevens, gets stronger as the game goes on. So you see him chipping away first, second quarter. Once that third and fourth quarter roll around, opposing defenders simply want no part of this guy. Goes around 6'1", 240, has impressive instincts and vision at the line of scrimmage, runs physical, a strong lower half, but he has that sneaky athleticism and quickness, the ability to sidestep a defender, step through a tackle, and get into the second level. If this guy's going to a school like USC, Texas, Florida, he's one of the front runners, if not the lead guy for the Heisman Trophy this year. But since he's at a school like Stanford, doesn't get the consistent recognition, that's why he's down a bit. But he's one of my favorite backs in the country, going to make a lot of money being a pro either in baseball or football. That's how talented the guy is, Joe, but one I think will be a true X factor in this one.
Two-sport athlete, Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders style. We're going to talk a little bit more about Gerhardt later. You could pump him up a little bit more when we talk Heisman. We'll try to get his name on the board a little bit more. Let's move down the list. Matt Barkley, as a freshman at USC, has been getting all the love. And this kind of goes back to what you were saying about Gerhardt. When you're at the big school, that's where you're going to get the recognition. The media is going to talk about you. That's just how it plays out. Big school, get the love. But on the other side of the ball, Andrew Luck from Stanford, the redshirt freshman, who not as many people have been hearing about, has been playing damn well in his own right. Wes, who's the better freshman quarterback here?
Joe, honestly, if I look and I look 3 years down the line and I have to take a bet on who is going to be the top quarterback prospect, I'm going with the redshirt freshman from Stanford, Andrew Luck. I love what USC does in preparing their quarterbacks. I think they have great coaches down there. But being able to be coached by Jim Harbaugh and the package that this guy has, he's a big, strong-arm passer that's extremely accurate, getting comfortable, going through his progressions. This guy made some big throws last week versus again. I think that the ceiling of him is absolutely tremendously high. I think he's going to be a big-time prospect. And if this is the NBA draft, Joe, where you're taking 19-year-old kids and looking at their potential upside, this guy's as talented as anyone in the nation. He's a future first-round pick, a guy I really like who had his coming-out party last week. I think he's just going to continue to get better.
You know, so much about USC, but those are already two big names for everyone tuning in to check out when they're watching this game later today. Quarterback Andrew Luck and running back Toby Gerhardt. Let's move to the other side of the football, West, and talk about the USC offense and the Stanford defense. You know, can Stanford slow down this Trojan offense? And if they can, how are they going
to
do it?
Well, Joe, they need to win up front. They don't have the athletes in the secondary to keep pace with these explosive USC offense. Udafi at defensive tackle, Keisler at defensive end. They need to be able to create pressure up front with four guys. When you look at the talent of the USC offensive line, it's at the tackles, Charles Brown, Tyron Smith. The weakness is inside. Christopher O'Dowd, the center, has been banged up all year with a knee injury. They've kind of flip-flopped the interior of their offensive line. So Udafi has got to be physical inside. He's a big, thickly built defensive tackle who can anchor at the point of attack, eat up blocks, and allow defenders to create around him. Does a nice job cleaning up the trash and giving people the ability to make plays, you know, when he's eating up defenders. So he's the guy that needs to be physical on first and second down, force the Trojans into third and long situations.
Prediction time. Who you got in this one, Wes?
Joe, I can't believe it, but I'm going to go against USC for the second in 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it was. I like Stanford to pull off the victory. I think they're physical up front, can make enough plays on the passing game with Luck down the field, guys like Whalen, Owusu. And I think defensively, I'm not real impressed with the USC offense, and I think defensively they'll be able to make some plays. I'm going with another upset against my beloved Trojans. I'm going to take Stanford.
Upset special. I love it, Wes. I love it. All right. Game number two on the docket. Notre Dame at number 12 Pitt. Notre Dame coming off the 23-21 embarrassing home loss to Navy. Navy ran every which way all over Notre Dame last week. Pitt coming off a 32-10 win over Syracuse and is making some noise in their own right. What's Notre Dame going to have to do to keep quarterback Jimmy Clausen clean? He's the key to everything for this Notre Dame offense. Threw for over 400 yards last week in a loss. What are they going to need to do, Wes, to keep him protected, keep him upright, and let him do his thing?
Well, that's the key, Joe. They have to keep him protected. When you look at the Pitt defense, their front four, Greg Roumais, the defensive end, this is a 6'5", 270-pound guy that can play with power. He's explosive. He's agile. Does a great job mixing up his pass rush moves. I thought he was more of just a physical specimen as a sophomore. This year, he's improved his technique, improved his pad level, and he's really taken his game to another level. He'll be opposed this week by left tackle Paul Duncan. And Joe, that's an absolute mismatch city all the way. He can absolutely destroy him at the point of attack, can go around him, can slip him, whatever you need. So Notre Dame needs to help Chip double down whatever they can to block Roumais off the edge. Because if they let Paul Duncan go one-on-one, that Notre Dame passing game is going to struggle to get off the blocks. Clausen's going to have him in his face all day. Blocking Roumais off the edge is the key.
If the Fighting Irish can keep Clausen clean, excuse me.
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, there's a tongue twister right there. I'll just call him Jimmy. If they can keep Jimmy clean, is the offense going to be able to have a big day against this Pitt secondary?
Joe, now you're starting to sound like Mike. Can't pronounce the last names of guys, this and that. But, Joe, when you look at the playmakers on the outside with Floyd and Tate, that's as bad as a mismatch as Pitt has up front is as bad as a mismatch Notre Dame has in the secondary. Pitt cornerback Aaron Berry, he's the best of the group. He can't match up with either of them. Pressure will be the key. They need to get pressure up front. Roumais, Mick Williams inside. However, I think Notre Dame center Eric Olsen can handle them. But if they can protect Clausen, I think he can have a great day passing against the Pittsburgh secondary. And he's going to need to be efficient in order to keep pace with the Pittsburgh offense.
You know what? Great segue, Wes. I was trying to think about what I was going to say to get into the Pitt offense. You set me up perfectly, so thank you very much for that.
I'm high level, Joe.
You knew it was coming. Let's move to the other side of the football and talk about the Pitt offense. I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched a ton of Pitt football this year. I've seen a few games, but I'm not nearly as educated on this team as I am on some others. So feel free to drop some knowledge on me here. What is it that makes this offense so effective.
Well, we talked about Stanford, Joe, and their long-armed offensive linemen, not these guys that consistently get the bull rush or be able to inline block, but they stay on their opposing linemen. That's exactly what the Pittsburgh offensive line does so well. Pinkston, Joe Thomas, Lucas up front do a great job extending those long arms, staying on their blocks through the play, and they have one of the most explosive, impressive running backs in the nation in Deion Lewis. This guy goes laterally as well as any running back in the nation, gets up to full speed, consistently can make men miss. Him dancing behind the line while these big long arm offensive linemen stay on their blocks and then exploding into daylight has been the key to the offense. This guy's truly a pleasure to watch in the open field, making men miss, making big plays. He's the key to the whole offense, and he's a guy who I think is going to have a big game tonight.
Is there anything Notre Dame's defense can do to slow down Pitt's offense? Not saying that Pitt's got the most explosive offense in the country, but Notre Dame's defense has been abysmal this season, and they were absolutely shredded at home by Navy last week. The ground game, over 300 yards on the ground they gave up. I mean, that just, it's what got everyone starting to talk about Charlie Weiss's job, because how bad that defense looked. Is there anything they can do to slow Pitt down, or is this going to have to be a situation where Clawson just tries to win a shootout?
Joe, Clawson's going to have to win a shootout. It's that simple. The Notre Dame, and if you heard the podcast me and my colleague Bob Boland did yesterday about Notre Dame, consistently referred to the Notre Dame front four as soft. These guys can't hold the point of attack. They don't eat up blocks. They're not physical against the run, and Pittsburgh wants to run the football down your throat. What you're going to end up seeing happen is they're going to have to commit more guys to the line of scrimmage. Bill Stahl, the underrated quarterback at Pittsburgh, has done a great job this year working off the play-action game, looking down the field, and creating big plays vertically. I think he has another big game this week. He's got some nice targets. Jonathan Baldwin, sophomore wide receiver. Doran Dixon, the do-it-all tight end, H-back wide receiver. Guy even played linebacker at some point in his career. The point is, he's a great athlete, can create mismatches, and Baham, the tight end, he can also make some plays as well. So I think it's a talented group of pass catchers that they have. When he can lean on the run game, work off the play game, I think Notre Dame's completely mismatched on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Pittsburgh's going to have a big game.
Prediction time. How do you see this one playing out, Bunning? Does Pitt keep the train moving and send Notre Dame to yet another loss? Or do the Fighting Irish get back in the win column this week?
Joe, I like Pittsburgh big, to be honest. I think Clawson will put up some points when he has time, but I think there's too much talent on the Pittsburgh defense. Their offense is too well-balanced, too physical. Stahl has the playmakers to make some things happen vertically. I like Pittsburgh to run away with it in the second half and get ready for that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game coming up. Big East Championship kind of thing. We're looking forward to it.
That's a team I've loved watching this year. Somehow, some way, they are always on TV. Wherever I am, I always get to watch that team. I love watching that team play football this year. I mean, if you're talking excitement, I really hope they bust up the BCS this year and get into a title game somehow, because I'm going to be honest, that thing's a house of cards. It needs to come down. We complain, and other people complain all the time about this system and how it's set up. I don't mind a team like Cincinnati getting into the championship game and causing havoc. Whether or not they win or lose, it'll just go to show the BCS how flawed their system is and how they really need to rework a structure and get a playoff system going. But that's just me. I always get into this rant. Let's move to the Heisman Watch segment of the program. I want you to run down your top five for me today. Has anything changed? As I'm looking at this right now, Mark Ingram, running back Alabama, still number one. Break it down for me.
Yeah, Joe, when we saw Ingram this past week, had 22 carries, 144 yards against LSU in a big SEC game, and I talked about him. He had to reach 100 yards, 4.0 carry against a very good SEC defense in LSU. He did that and more. The guy was dynamic, consistently keeping Alabama ahead of the chains, a consistent playmaker, making guys miss. I thought he had a great performance, and I think he's actually starting to create some distance between himself and the rest of the field. Ndamukong Suh, I have two now. We saw Nebraska this past week on ABC upset the Oklahoma Sooners. Suh's starting to fall just a bit because the guy's getting so much attention inside, Joe. When I say only, you know, I'm putting quotations around this because the guy still had four tackles, a pass breakup, a block kick, three quarterback hurries. But like we talked about last week, Joe, the guy does so much more. for the Nebraska defense. His partner in crime, Jared Crick, 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and another half sack. And this guy's going to be missing Sue more than any player in the country this next year when he sees this talented defensive tackle go bye-bye, because Crick's going to have so much attention inside on him.
Speaking of that block kick, how bad was Oklahoma last weekend? They couldn't do a damn thing on special teams. 2 missed field goals, the blocked kick, and then Stoops was forced to go for it on 4th down, and they kept getting stuffed. You were watching that game. What did you think of that?
Joe, I mean, there's so much attention goes into the offense, into the defense. But we have to remember, special teams is 1/3 of the game. And you look at all the teams, they find a way to create those hitting yards, whether it's blocking kicks, whether it's good returns in the punt game, good returns in the kick game. You have to manufacture additional yards in special teams. That's what Nebraska was able to do, take some possessions away with some block kicks, and that was end up being the difference in the game.
Yeah, you're telling me, and you're right, special teams, it's how Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech's been making a living all these years. Beamer ball is all about special teams. Let's continue moving down the list. We've got another running back out of Fresno State, Ryan Matthews. What's good with him this week?
Yeah, Ryan Matthews, I talked about, you know, you blew me off last week, Joe, when I kind of previewed the Fresno State-Idaho game. You were hating just a bit, not the biggest of marquee matchups.
But
Matthews ran big.
You know me. I'm a glory guy. I need big games. I need like all the hype, the college game days there. I need all that to get myself fired up. Idaho, Fresno, get out of here. You're not going to be able to fire me up for that. I'm sorry.
I know. But Matthews still ran crazy. 143 yards, 3 touchdowns against a weak Idaho team. But the guy consistently finds way to create big plays, averages over 4 yards a pop. Physical inside with that explosion to make plays at the second level. Joe, this guy's not only a legit Heisman guy, this guy looks like a featured back in the NFL, a really talented prospect.
We've also already hit on Toby Gerhart from Stanford earlier today, the running back, and we just talked about, I'm just going to say Sue from Nebraska, the defensive tackle, because I don't want to screw the first name up. So we'll say Sue,
okay,
and we'll leave it at that. Now, yeah, everyone will know what I'm talking about, so if you really want to know, just look it up. You can go figure it out. Number 5 on the list, quarterback from Houston, Case Keenum. What's going on with him?
Joe, did your eyes light up when you said that name? The guy goes for another 500-yard game this week, 522, completes 66.7% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, and more importantly, in that open, spread-out Houston offense, the guy doesn't throw a pick. That's back-to-back 500-yard games. Joe, I don't think you could even do that in NCAA football on your PlayStation, could you?
No, I couldn't, and I tried. First off, I tried to play with this Houston team recently, and obviously the guys who made this game didn't realize Keenum and this offense would be that explosive because they stink. You can't move the ball with the offense. So and maybe that's just because I suck at the game. But outside of that, no, I could not put that up. And number 2, I absolutely love watching this kid play football. I've actually gotten lucky enough. He's been on TV lately. I mean, what are the chances of him being a good pro prospect? Let's talk about that a little bit. A lot of times these quarterbacks at schools like Houston that play in the spread, that throw the ball all over the lot, you know, they don't project well to the next level. We saw it with Texas Tech's quarterback last year. I'm already slipping on the name. Why don't you drop that for me?
Graham Harrell, Joe.
Graham Harrell. I'm getting confused with all the names we saw at the Senior Bowl, but you see that happen to some of these guys. Talk about Keenum a little bit. How does he project at the NFL level?
Well, he's a gifted kid, Joe, and you know, he has decent arm strength, but he can anticipate throws, great accuracy, a good athlete who can buy time in the pocket. He's a bit scheme-limited at the next level. The guy's more of a West Coast offense guy, dink and dunk his way down the field, but I think he's athletic enough to get the footwork down, take snaps from under center, good balance, can snap the ball out. I like his chances. I think he could end up being a guy, not only one that'll make an NFL roster, but eventually be able to compete for an NFL starting spot at the next level.
We're going to be talking a lot more about that in the coming weeks. We'll tease it right now. We'll just tease it a little bit until the season plays out and we get into all the draft coverage. Bunning, let me tell you something. Excellent job, as always, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Joe. We'll do this again, you know, for the next 40 weeks to come. So,
yeah, we'll just keep doing them every week. So it's not like we have to have a big tearful goodbye here on air. But awesome job, buddy. Thanks for coming on. And thank you all, NFP Nation, for tuning in today. Now shut it down and get out there and watch some football. Thanks for tuning in. For Wes Bunning, I'm Joe Fortenball. We will see you next time. Get your